Hi, everyone. It's Judy Warner. Welcome back to the On Track podcast, Home Edition. Today's guests are two people from an organization you'll recognize readily, which is IPC. IPC, towards the beginning of this year, launched a new program called IPC Design. I'm with the two key leaders from IPC to tell you about what's going on with this program, how you can get involved, and the value of it. So thanks for joining us. Enjoy this conversation. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media.
Collaboration is critical to success. With us working remotely, it's more important than ever to convey design intent, review and comment, and iterate on mechanical, electrical, and software design features to get the perfect balance of user experience and form, all while improving manufacturing performance and yields. Working from anywhere and connecting with anyone has to be made easier. So at Altium, we're meeting the challenge head on. Right now, On Track podcast listeners have an exclusive, significant discount on Altium Designer with Altium 365 subscription. And to make this even easier, we're offering extended interest-free payment terms and a $400 bonus if you refer a collaborator so they get this deal too. So click the link below in the show notes to get your discount code now.
Well, Patrick and Teresa, thanks so much for joining me. Why don't you guys start off by introducing yourself, telling us your titles and your background.
Hi, Judy. My name is Patrick Crawford. I'm the manager of design standards and related industry programs at IPC. As far as my background is concerned, I actually have a master's in materials engineering. So I did a lot of work more on like the semiconductor side of things, but I'm really excited to be working with IPC and more of the design, board design engineering side of things. It's very exciting. So I come to IPC after only a couple years in industry. I'm pretty fresh, but I'm excited and I love to build programs like we're doing with IPC design. So it's great to be here.
Thank you. I'm Teresa Rao with IPC. I'm the Senior Director of Assembly and Standards Technology. I've been with IPC about 6 years. Prior to that, I was a volunteer with IPC for a long time while I worked in the defense industry in the manufacturing world. And I'm happy to be here as well.
Whoever wants to field this question, tell us about what is IPC design and what are sort of the plans you have as you roll out this new program?
Sure. I can handle that. And Teresa can always jump in to fill in the gaps. So IPC Design is IPC's latest program offering for board design engineers. It is what we're thinking of as kind of a new take on how board design engineers can integrate with each other, cooperate on learning projects, learning in general. And it's really focused more on the virtual side of things this time around. Which are virtual meetings, virtual hangouts, depending on what software you're using calls them. And it really is a program that is based on the idea of content. So the idea that there are bite-sized, not so bite-sized, whatever it is, little snippets of information that people can share with each other. And that's just in general, right? We see that with YouTube. We see that with pretty much every learning management software system out there. And we wanted to leverage that idea of, all right, there are little pieces of information, there are big pieces of information, whatever it is, that can help professionals, I guess, if we're still in the general, learn. And where do those pieces of information come from, right? They come from other professionals. They come from other people that have expertise in that area. And that's why YouTube is a billion-dollar company, right? Or at least Google that owns YouTube. Alphabet. Why can't we use that in board design engineering? Why can't we use that in helping these design engineers come together across the globe, not just in their chapter down the street. So that's the like underpinning architectural idea of what we want to do differently. How that actually plays out is a little bit more complex, I think. But the core of it is affiliations. So great, you have an idea, you have the conceptual idea. All right, we want people to integrate across space. So you have this idea that people can kind of commune across the space. How do they do that, right? So we're looking at having people affiliate in a few ways. If you want to create a more traditional chapter, but not solely traditional because you're still going to be using the virtual, you can do that. You can work with board design engineers in your area, and you can have regular meetings. You can put on events, philanthropic, educational, whatever it is with people in your area. We're also looking at having people affiliate as individuals. We realize that around the world, people might not be geographically located next to another designer. And that's fine. We want people to be able to plug into this cloud platform as an individual. We're also looking at different ways of affiliating and kind of plugging into this like global content network with a company organization or an organization, right? A not-for-profit or whatever. And finally, and probably most importantly, in one of my opinion, is the ability for student groups. So STEM students that are organized around electrical engineering or board design engineering, kind of depending on where you are in the world, there are specific groups for that. They can plug into this network too. Right, so we're really kind of like blowing apart the idea of what does it mean to be part of a chapter, an organization, whatever. And we're recognizing that anymore, it's a global thing. It's not just you and your colleagues down the street. So not to say there isn't a place for that. Of course, there's a place for that. Teresa, do you want to fill in any of my gaps?
No gaps, but a few things to add to that. We wanted to set ourselves up for the future. We recognize this even in our standards development committee meetings, that we are seeing more global presence and more global participation. And it's really hard to get people together in that environment. And so we positioned ourselves about 5 years ago to start doing teleconferencing. We do a lot of standards development work, especially now while we're all at home. We are incredibly busy supporting our task groups as they too are home, and excited to be able to spend more hours volunteering their time to work on standards development. So this is the next step in that, to position ourselves into that virtual environment, as Patrick put it, and give people a chance to communicate, even though they're thousands and thousands of miles apart around the world, different time zones. It's difficult, but this makes it work.
So obviously this COVID crisis has thrown us headlong into this space. And I think when we all get to the other side, I think we're all going to be, I mean, here I am doing a podcast from home, for heaven's sake. So I think it's all going to probably make us ever more comfortable with connecting virtually. So two questions I have for you guys. Will all the meetings, do you envision in person and virtual? And I guess I have three questions. What is the buy-in you're seeing, particularly you, Patrick, because you work with design committees, but I think this applies to a variety of committees. What kind of buy-in are you seeing to this different kind of format? And three, are you going to offer groups that may be in, if you're doing this globally, in other languages that are native to the countries where designers might want to participate?
I'll start and then Patrick can jump in on this one. We are seeing an incredible presence now that we're all inside. A very good example of this, just the other day, staff was talking about the fact that we're seeing a lot of different people who haven't participated before, being able to call into meetings and really getting good conversations, good technical conversations going online on these platforms. So it has been, despite how sad it is, it's been an incredible opportunity for people that I hope continues. I don't anticipate their presence going away. I think now that we have them involved and engaged and excited and they've accepted action items, they're going to continue to participate. And that's extremely important to us and to the industry at large. And I'm going to let Patrick talk a little bit about the rest of your questions having to do with what he has seen so far. But I know from talking to him just the other day that it's been very positive. So Patrick?
Thanks, Teresa. Yeah, so I guess I can start with the second question first, the buy-in. So the buy-in has been very positive. And what is encouraging to me is that a lot of it has actually been international. So I mean, I've had people from Israel, people from Italy, Germany, Southeast Asia. I've had someone reach out from Russia, which I didn't realize there was too huge of a design presence, at least the city that they reached out from. So it's very hopeful. I've had so much positive feedback and desire to start chapters. That's what people really want to do. That I've actually had to be like, hey guys, there's paperwork, we gotta work through this. And they're just like, no, let's meet. So it's really positive that people are wanting to do that. As for COVID, that actually does put us in an interesting spot, right? Because we want these chapters to meet. So to your first point, are they gonna be virtual? Are they gonna be in person? I think we're seeing that there's gonna be a stress test on the idea of a virtual meeting, the idea of a virtual chapter. Because personally, myself, I would never tell 20 people to get in a room with each other right now. And I probably wouldn't for the next few months, knock on wood, that it's not longer. So that has proven an interesting thing. And I think a huge caveat that we need to address as we just go forward in general with this conversation is that this is new and it's bold, in my opinion. And what we're trying to do, there have been programs that are online based, right? Any forum that's ever existed is in theory a group that exists online to communicate about a single topic. But when you integrate that with what IPC does with our presence in trade shows and APEX and the in-person learning and educational opportunities, if you integrate that with the other three affiliation types we're trying to work in, right? We want to work with companies, we want to work with organizations. It is a living, breathing program that is changing and developing rapidly. So the answer, again, right now, virtual is what we're seeing. In a year, maybe it'll be physical. Maybe it'll be physical in Belgium, but everyone in Canada is doing a virtual meeting. The idea is that it's going to be adaptive to that. And I think that's important to keep in mind, too, is that this is an ongoing process, and we are definitely seeking input as to how it molds itself in the future.
So if I can add to that, Patrick, I think the other thing we've noticed, though, is people are excited and they're asking for more and more and more. And we are taking deliberate steps in some cases. And so we at times we aren't pulling back, but we're trying to give people information in a step-by-step manner so that we can ensure that the program is solid as it's rolled out, because we want to make sure that we give everybody the best there is from the out of the gates.
Yeah, it's all about quality, right? That's what we're concerned about, is quality. So I don't mean to appear too cautious. We're going forward, we're building it, but quality is the name of the game.
Well, you know, we all have these similarities, right? Because of COVID and becoming comfortable with these new technologies. And I think we all used them a little bit, but now it's our lifeline, right? This is how we work. And some things we've observed here at Altium is one gentleman reached out to me in the Bozeman, Montana area. He's starting a virtual Altium users group in the area. So, hey, you listeners, if anybody's in Montana area, I've got a new virtual users group for you. And then there was another fellow that reached out to me from the Silicon Valley area, and now he's choosing to wait to ride this out and do in person. You know, this is a smaller geographical area. And so, you know, I think to your point, both of you, is I think it might end up being a hybrid, right? But what I do think that we're observing, because we're doing live webinar training and things right now to try to serve our users. And what we're noticing is engagement is very high. And something that we're noticing about ourselves, and I'm interested in your comments on this, is because we're not taking the time to commute, because we're not taking long breaks at lunch, we're all actually a little more productive, not less. And that actually opens up a window of time for more learning and more connecting. We've noticed the podcast listenership has gone up. Our social media has gone up because people, I think, have a little bit more of, discretionary time to learn. So is this something you're observing as well with the committees?
Yes, definitely. We've had people on calls saying, I have this extra time, give me an action item, any action item. It doesn't matter what it is, I'll do it. And assigned an action item and we had it in a few hours. And, that's not something we would even expect for someone to be able to do that. But I think even staff noticed when we went virtually, most of our office is virtual nowadays. Patrick and I reside in different states. My staff is all over the world. And what we find is that we were more productive when we weren't taking that hour or two to commute. And then you have that wind down time, after you get home. People have that time to spend, as you said, learning and participating. And it's exciting. It's also challenging. As I've alerted my task groups, I reminded them that they do have a life. And so even though their commute is now only to their desk, which may be on the dining room table or in the basement or wherever it is, you need to take time for yourself. And that's an important thing that staff has learned over the last few years. And certainly we encourage everyone to remember that too. You have to take time for yourself and family comes first. But we enjoy the fact that that people have that time to spend doing IPC standards and design activity work.
You know, as you said, with the commute and all of that, I just did a podcast yesterday about a gentleman who is an engineer that has a remote team as well, much like IPC. And he had just written an article about, and he wrote it before COVID hit, about how to manage a remote team and how to work successfully. And also, sort of this brave new world of getting used to working from home. But because, unfortunately, this horrible thing is persisting, I think we're all learning to get a little bit better at it. But what I think is interesting to note here for you guys is that this virtual strategy you had was way ahead of the COVID crisis. And I had the opportunity to interview you both at IPC Apex. I'll share that interview below in the show notes. So I'd like to hear your comments on that, as well as effectiveness of working remote. And also, I'd love to hear what's happened between January and now, because I know you guys have made a lot of headway since then.
So as the first comment, I'll echo Teresa. IPC staff has worked, how long, Teresa? 5, 6, 7? I don't know how long it's been.
Patrick, it's a little over 5 years now that it's been remote for the entire office. I started with IPC as a remote employee, as you did.
Right. So I only really have that experience with IPC, but it's the best. I think anyone who transitions to working from home agrees it's the best. You're so productive. So I think that shifting to the IPC design side of things, being ahead of that, I don't like that it is a global pandemic that kind of is proving that the virtual method is how we should be doing things, at least, again, in hybrid, in synthesis with strategically placed face-to-face meetings, which, by the way, I would like to back up. I realize we didn't answer your third question, Judy. Will there be some kind of mandate on how many face-to-face meetings at least the chapters have? And the answer is no. That's going to be entirely up to the local chapter. Like I said, maybe in Belgium, they're meeting every 3 days for, coffee. But now shifting back, I just want to make sure we touch that. What has happened since January? A lot. So at January, we were still in the first steps of really finding IPC Design's wings and doing a lot of talking with members from industry. Apex was great for me. I was talking to people from all over the world at lunch, dinner, snacks, coffee breaks, trying to figure out what should this look like. And that was where we had our design community leadership's first meeting. I think we spoke about that at the interview. And I believe the interview was before the meeting, or it might have been the day of. So that meeting went well. We really, from there, it's been just off to the races, again, figuring out what this program looks like. So since then, we have come up with the four affiliation types we spoke about earlier, right? Chapters, individuals, company organizations, and students. We've also started looking at, okay, great, we have this scaffolding, what's going to be the content model, what I spoke about earlier, to this idea of a collaborative content model, the idea that we as IPC can definitely drive a lot of what these folks are using and what they're learning about and learning with, but it's really going to come from, again, other experts, other designers. And I think that that was kind of a watershed moment in us realizing what this needs to be. We've also started looking at, okay, what are some of the ways we can leverage the expertise of the world to do some really cool stuff? One of the things we've been working on is international board design engineering competition. So not just layout, not just, okay, stack up, really the whole tamale, like from stack up through your critical mass. Like what would that competition look like? And so I don't have anything to announce officially yet. We're still in the planning stages of that. And I'm going to advertise here for a second. If anyone is interested in helping with that, I can only speak in very high level right now because that's still where we're at. Please let me know, design@ipc.org. Help us build an awesome program. We're looking at ways then to leverage our community of experts in less involved huge things, right? We're looking at what would a design forum look like now that we have these awesome tools like IPC Works, which is an online platform that our standards committees use to exchange files, speak with each other. There's a roster management tool. It's a great platform to manage groups of people. So now that we have that tool that we are offering to chapters and individuals, how do we work with that? How do we have a forum built into that? How do we have, again, the synthesis of like this virtual and face-to-face meeting? How does that fit in? We're also looking at fun things like we had this idea. Wouldn't it be cool if we have design from all angles, right? So, you know, you can be a board engineer that works for, I'm going to pick on, I don't know, Lockheed, right? Cool. Planes, aerospace, sweet. Not just planes, they do a lot of stuff. But focusing on the planes, wouldn't it be cool to look at the design of an aircraft itself? And how could you find that crossroads between the design of the larger aircraft or maybe another system in the aircraft, whether it's like, the lifting body or some kind of actuation in it, and the printed board design? How can those come together? And we're looking at maybe having events where you would invite, the person who designs the ailerons with the person who designs the board for the motor control for an actuator in the ailerons. And having this global network allows us to do that. So a lot of fun things. COVID did kind of slow things down, maybe a tiny, tiny bit. So unfortunately, we're still, again, dealing with how we're navigating that from the planning side of things, not necessarily like the chapter logistics side of things. But I'm excited. I think we're going to do some really cool stuff. I think in six months from now, you're going to see like a bunch of really cool talks and competitions and events that we will be kind of propagating out through industry. So I just spoke a lot. Teresa, would you like to?
Yeah, I think one thing we have to add here is, Patrick, you didn't really mention our leadership group. And I think it's important to draw attention to the fact that this is not all IPC staff thinking all of this stuff up. This is a global design community, a leadership community committee. We've asked representatives from three regions of the world, right, Patrick? The Americas, the Asia region, and then also Europe. So it will be seven people total, the two representatives from each one of those regions, and then a leader as well. And those individuals will be providing input and have provided phenomenal input so far, just to their ideas. And then the ideas come together and they look through, you know, they sift through all of them, and they too are starting to gel as a group, right, Patrick? We're still looking for one individual. Is that correct? We still have, with the COVID COVID-19 situation, we haven't been able to add one of our representatives from Asia. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're still trying to secure someone from Asia. So if you're listening to this and you have a couple decades under your belt in board design, you want to pitch in, we appreciate that.
And that group has, as I said, provided a phenomenal amount of input so far, and I only expect that to continue. They have collective years of experience and fresh ideas, and it's exciting to see that as well.
So, for our listeners specifically, I'm about to hand you the microphone and give your pitch. Why? Why should designers participate in it? What are they going to get out of it? Their time schedules are limited. How can they, what will they learn and take away from this experience? How can they serve and bring maybe expertise of decades to bear? Like, why should they get involved in IPC design?
I'll start, Patrick, and then I'll let you jump in. From our perspective, design is where it all starts. It all starts with a concept. We're here to help the world build electronics better, and it's really important to us to start with the designers, to have them actively engaged, to have them provide input to our standards, provide input to the industry, and also to provide for their fellow designers. So it is a community. But it's also an opportunity for them to learn. It's an opportunity for them to grow. Designers, as you know, many times they sit with their computer and their concepts, and they're living in their world with their responsibilities, as we all are. But we all need to stay fresh. We need to have the ideas come to us. We have to make sure that we stay relevant in the industry. And this is an opportunity to do exactly that, to stay relevant and then the younger people to learn from the people that have been in the industry a long time, learn what maybe they didn't find in a book at college or a course at university. It's the opportunity to do that and to really form their own professional community with IPC's banner right there helping them do that. Patrick?
Yeah, I think, Teresa, you said all of it, right? I mean, it's an opportunity for designers to come together, work with each other. I think that part of its ambition is that we are looking for that collaborative model, right? And I think a lot of programs in the past have tacitly relied on that, right? It's never been built into the structure like you're helping each other out. It's created the vessel for that. It's created the container for that. But I don't think, at least in my experience, there have been any where it was built, coded into the actual model itself about this collaboration. And so I just want to add that to what Teresa said. But yeah, it really is an experiment. But we think a good one that will be proof fruitful, already is proving fruitful, to help designers come together in a globalizing world, right? And that's the truth. So we think it'll be a benefit in that way.
Well, I can really hear the passion in both your voices. And of course, you know, since this is who All Team serves, I'm excited to see you do this outreach to these designers. So kind of wind down here, just a couple more questions. Number one, how can people get involved?
People can get involved in a few ways. As I said, living, breathing, developing. Right now, you can shoot me an email at design@ipc.org, and that's just a general, hey, I got an idea, and we're open to that. If you want to get involved as an affiliate, right now we are putting the finishing touches on the agreements, and very soon you will be able to shoot me an email and say, hey, I'm in Egypt. Let's make this happen. Let's start up a chapter. I expect that within the next couple of weeks. If you're an individual and you want to affiliate, we're actually all ready to start to serve that. So you can go to ipc.org/dc-enrollment, and you will be able to, there's a form you fill out, and then you will be able actually to affiliate as an individual right away. If you want to affiliate as a company group, we are still working on how that will work. As you can imagine, we're talking about organizations and companies that have their own internal bylaws and their own structures. So we're navigating that still, but eventually soon you will be able to affiliate as a company. And finally, if you're part of a STEM student organization, IPC has the IPC Education Foundation, which has student chapters all over the country. If you're part of an Education Foundation chapter, please go to that form. Please say, hey, I'm part of a student chapter. We can work with you right away. If you're part of a STEM group from around the world, I'm really excited to talk to you because I want to dive into how we can serve you as a student group in France or wherever. And I think it's important too, you had asked earlier about language and localization, and I do want to touch on that because we're talking about STEM group in France. Part of this collaboration is, you know, if I am in France and I'm an English speaker and a French speaker, and I get a piece of content from, I don't know, Wyoming, and I think it's great and it has substance, you're giving back to the community by maybe not like a word for word translation, but taking the ideas of that and localizing that into French. You can put that out there because that's super important to this too. But yeah, the gist of that, all ways to affiliate, either you can right now, you will be able to very shortly. If you have any ideas for the program, if you want to help out with the competition, you want to propose some higher level event that you think we should do, that you've seen be successful in the past, that your company does frequently, and you think we could tap into that, again, design@ipc.org. So I hope that that was sufficient and trying to cover all the bases.
I echo that 100%. Please just get involved. Just sign up. You can always say, this is not for me, but I don't think that that will happen. I think once people get involved and they see what there is out there and what this brings to them as a rewarding experience, I think they'll find it a positive decision they made.
And if you want to get involved, again, there's no obligation. There's no cost to be part of a chapter, to start a chapter, to be an individual. None of the affiliations we're looking at working with, trying out, none of those will have dues. There might be instances where you know, pay for a meal or whatever to cover the costs of some kind of philanthropy or community service or industry event you're putting on, but from IPC, you're not going to owe us anything. So try it out. Get in contact with me. Let's do something cool, right? Let's have fun with it. That's the point of this.
So I just thought of another question as you both articulated that so well. What's in it for IPC? There's obviously not dues. There's, you know, why? Why invest your resources in this way?
If you don't mind, Teresa, I'll give that first. So we aren't just investing in the present industry, right? We're looking at the student organizations. We're looking at chapters in geographically individuals in geographically isolated areas, trying to find chapters that might be pretty distant from the other board design engineers in the world. So if you're looking at it from a what's in it for IPC, there is always an element of, we believe that our standards are absolutely the best for industry around the world, right? And we're, part of it is going to be, hey, you know, there's a design standard that we think is really great, and you'll be able to follow that and make your product better and make your process better. So yeah, there's that element of that. But really for us, it is all about building the present industry for the future industry, right? We want to make sure that there are board design engineers in 30 years. And part of that is going to be the outreach and the collaboration now.
I think we also want to strengthen the design community because, as I mentioned before, it is the beginning of the pillar. It's where it all starts with design. And if we don't have a strong design community, it becomes weaker as it grows. We see assembly suffering, we see board fab suffering because designers might not have the knowledge or have the concepts that they need to help bring their products to the forefront in the industry and be able to serve mankind basically with the best thing there is to offer. So this really is about building the future and focusing on today to build the future for tomorrow.
Well, you know, you're singing our song here at Altium. So I really appreciate both of you, what you're doing for designers, for the industry. I will, for our audience, I'll make sure and share all the links that Patrick and Teresa have mentioned. You know, I think my last comment here is, as I've been trying to stay relevant to the time and the crisis we're in and equip, you know, through the podcast, give information, this just seemed like a really great time to talk to you guys since you are have a virtual strategy and you know, like you said, Patrick, it's an unfortunate time, but I think there's opportunities. I call them COVID silver linings, right? Is I think the silver lining is I've done podcasts besides this one is John Mitchell talked about committee meetings meeting more often. So maybe standards will end up getting completed sooner. Maybe more people will join. You know, IPC has been advocating for the industry to keep our manufacturers open. So, you know, it's very typical in times of crisis that people come together and that's where in that community shines. So I think what you're doing is very timely and noble and really good for the industry. So just best wishes from all of us at Altium to you guys. And we will support you in whatever way we can as well. So thank you for joining. Stay well and healthy. Any last minute comments before we sign off?
I'd just like to tell everyone out there, we're thinking about all of you and to stay safe and we'll get together. We'll get through this together and see everyone on the other side.
Yeah, if you are out there and you're struggling, I mean, I don't know how much I can help, but got my email address, design@ipc.org. Reach out.
Well, thank you both for being our guests today. Thank you for the work you're doing. We really appreciate you and we look forward. I hope you'll both come back and tell me how things are moving along. I'd like to maybe touch base with you that 6 months from now and see where you are. And hopefully we'll be on the other side of this crisis and see how you're moving forward.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
Well, to our listeners, thanks so much for joining us today on the On Track podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this conversation with Patrick Crawford and Teresa Rao of IPC Design. Please remember to stay safe, stay well, stay tuned for our next podcast. Until then, remember to always stay on track.